The Life of Mary Southern, a human and appealing story of a young widow who is alone in a strange city, and yet not alone. And now, The Life of Mary Southern. After the death of Mary's husband, Max Sanders, Mary retreated to a world of her own. Following his voice, which only she heard, she arrived, dazed but confident that she was doing what Max wished her to do, in the city of Craig Falls. There she met a young man named David, who took her home and placed her in the care of his landlady, Mrs. McPherson, where she has found a peace she could not feel in Sanders. However, David's good friend, Father Brady, is still obliged to notify Dr. John Benson of Mary's whereabouts after reading her story in the newspaper. Benson, anxious about Mary, is suspicious of Father Brady's call, as well as the two others he received on the same day. After investigating the first call from a crook who wanted the reward money, he and Danny Stratford set out for the Fulton Hospital, where a nurse had found a woman answering Mary's description. Now it is early that same afternoon. In Craig Falls, David has just returned to the boarding house after seeing Father Brady. He is greeted excitedly by his landlady, Mrs. McPherson.
Is that you, David?
Yes, Mrs. McPherson. Why talk like that? Say there's nothing wrong, is there? Mary's all right, isn't she?
Yes, she's all right. Come in here to the sitting room for a minute. I got to talk to you.
Sure, but what's up? Why all this mystery?
Well, it's about Mary, David.
Yeah?
Have you seen this newspaper? Pictures on the front page. Tells all about her. Seems she just disappeared and the folks back home are crazy with worry about her.
Yes, I've seen the paper, Mrs. McPherson.
And they've offered a $500 reward for information about her. $500. You know that's a tidy sum, David.
Yes, I know, but...
I've been thinking about it all morning. Seems to me that she must have run away because she wanted to. She must have wanted to leave all her friends in Sanders so she could be by herself.
Well, that's the way I feel about it, too, Mrs. McPherson.
And I said to myself, that girl's been through enough already. She wants to be alone. I'm not going to give her away, reward or no reward.
Well, that's just what I thought, too.
And I could use that $500 as well as the next person. But I never feel right about it. If it meant more trouble for Mary. So I decided, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know a thing about this Mary Sanders. How about it, David?
Well, Mrs. McPherson, if I had my way, I wouldn't have notified this doctor who offered the reward either. But Father Brady saw the notice, too. And...
Oh, I can guess the rest, David.
Yes.
So he had to tell his friends where she was, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Father Brady felt that since Mary was in such a nervous and emotional condition, she needed to be under her doctor's care, and that we couldn't be responsible for withholding information.
Yeah. So Father Brady's right, David. He's a wise man. I think I'm sorry for Mary's sake.
Well, I hope he's right, Mrs. McPherson, but I'm worried about Mary. I'm going up now and talk to her. Maybe I can get her to talk about herself and prepare her for Dr. Benson's arrival. I have a feeling she doesn't want to see him.
Come in.
Hello, Mary.
Oh, David. Oh, I'm so glad you've come. I've been worried about you.
Worried? About me?
Yes. You stayed away so long, I was afraid there was some sort of trouble at the settlement house. Was there, David? Is that why Father Brady called you this morning?
No, Mary. There's nothing wrong at the settlement house.
But... Not with Father Brady?
Oh, no.
Then you're in trouble, aren't you, David? Strange, I've had a feeling there was something wrong all day. And now you look so serious and worried. I know I was right. Won't you tell me about it, David? Maybe I could help you.
Oh, Mary, please don't worry about me. I'm not in any trouble of any kind.
You really mean that, David?
Yes, I do.
You're not trying to hide it?
No, Mary, but there is something I'd like to talk to you about. It's about you.
About me?
Yes. Now, I don't want to talk to you about it unless you want to, but I thought maybe if you told me something about your life before you came here to Craig's Falls. But you might feel happy.
No, David. No, I'd rather not talk about that. Please don't ask me.
You see, Mary, I've had the feeling ever since I've known you that you were in trouble. And I'd like to help you.
You have helped me, David. Since I met you, I felt so peaceful, almost happy, and that's because you've been so kind to me.
I've done nothing for you, Mary. But don't you see, if I knew what troubled you, I could help you.
I'm sorry, I can't sleep. It's not pleasant to think of anything that happened before I came here.
I'm sorry, Mary. Really, I am. I shouldn't have asked you. Let's talk about something else, huh?
Yes. I'd rather think about the future and about the settlement house. I want to help Father Brady. He's doing such wonderful things for those poor people.
Well, you know, Father Brady said this morning that you could be of great help to him there.
Did he? Oh, I'm so glad.
Yes, he said that you were just the type of person he needed. You were sympathetic and understanding. You would be able to gain the confidence of both the mothers and the children.
And will you help too, David? I have a feeling that together we could do a great deal for them.
Of course, you know I will. But I think we should wait a few days before we plan anything.
Wait? Why?
Well, you see, you've been so tired, and you ought to rest another week or so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, Father Brady thought so, too, Mary. Work at the settlement house won't be easy.
But I'm not tired anymore, David. I don't want to wait. I want to start working now.
Well, we'll see. Perhaps tomorrow we can go over there and discuss it with Father Brady. Suppose I phone him now and suggest it to him. How's that?
Well, of course, dear.
All right, I'll go right now. And then maybe we can take that walk. Would you like to do that, Mary? I don't like to see you sitting here in this room all day.
Oh, I'd love to take a walk. I'll get ready.
Oh, fine. I'll meet you downstairs in 10 minutes.
All right, David. David was hiding something. Something he doesn't want me to know about. Must be in trouble of some kind. I wonder why I feel so sad today. I feel something were about to happen. Something unpleasant. Oh, Max. Max, I'm afraid. Where are you? Please talk to me. I'm so frightened, Max, darling.
Don't be afraid, Mary.
Max, you're with me still.
Yes, Mary. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Everything will be all right.
I think. I'm not afraid now, Max. Not when you talk to me.
You must be strong, Max. I'm not afraid. Trust me. You're on the right road. And I'll be with you, showing you the way. Remember, Mary, I'll be with you.
While David, Mary's new friend, finds it impossible to tell her of Dr. Benson's imminent arrival, John and Danny Stratford are still anxiously searching for her. They're in the hall of the Fulton Hospital.
Come on, Danny. Let's go.
Gosh, that was awful, Doc. Why, if that poor woman a nurse brought down here to see you look anything like Mary, I'll eat my hat, as Daddy says.
And this was the one phone call that sounded promising. Well, if they thought that this time we were on the right track.
Yeah, well, cheer up. Maybe that Father Brady who calls you really has found Mary. Maybe she's in Craig's Falls. You going there next?
I haven't much hope, Danny. But might as well go. We wait just a minute. I better call the clinic first.
All right.
I promised Cartwright I'd check with him this afternoon, and he may have some more news of Mary.
Okay. Oh, there's the phone.
It won't take a minute. This is Dr. Benson. Get me Sanders 531, please.
Every time I think of that woman with the stringy hair and watery blue eyes and that nurse telling us she was Mary.
That's what I've been through for days. One disappointment after another. Almost seems as if the earth had opened and swallowed them. Hello. Hello, Cartwright. This is Benson. How's everything? What? Are you sure? Oh. Yes. What's his temperature? Blood count? All right. I'll come back. Yes, as fast as I can. Are you sure the Armstrongs won't let you operate? All right. Goodbye, Cartwright. See you as soon as possible.
What's the matter?
Oh, I've got to get back to the clinic, Nancy.
Oh.
Emergency operation. Young Freddie Armstrong has a bad appendix, and his mother won't trust anybody but me to operate.
I don't blame her. I wouldn't either.
Nonsense. Cartwright's a good man. But I'll have to go.
Sure. Looks like we won't get to Craig's Falls today.
Guess not, Danny. I'd rather wait till morning anyway. I can't take a third disappointment today. And probably the woman in Craig's Falls isn't Mary either.
Gosh, I hope Mary's there.
After I get back to the clinic, after I've operated on young Freddie Armstrong, I mean, I'll phone that settlement house and try to get a line on the priest who called.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Doc. Check up on him.
May at least save us from another wild goose chase. For all I know, there may not even be a priest named Father Brady in Craig's Falls. And I'm going to find out before I spend another day following a false trail.
Another disappointment for John Benson. And now, another delay in his search for Mary. What will this sudden change of plan mean to him and to Mary and David? What makes John Benson so reluctant to go to Craig's Falls and answer to Father Brady's phone call? Is David right in not warning Mary that John has been notified of her presence in Craig's Falls? Or is his instinct to protect her as long as possible the best? Are his fears for Mary justified? Or will she be happy to see her old friend John Benson again? The man who has loved her for so long and with such unselfish devotion. Don't miss tomorrow's chapter in The Life of Mary Southern.